B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap, backs up, looks left, and now scans back to the middle, directing traffic, pressured, throws to the back of the end zone.
Caught by Haley! Diving catch! Touchdown, Patriots!
About time.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greens.
Zoe, are you feeling better about the Patriots?
Yeah.
How much better?
I mean, you had two tough losses. I felt terrible after Houston. They looked terrible in Houston. I thought they competed really hard in Kansas City game against a better team than Houston. And then you beat a team you're supposed to beat. And I said, I need some differential in this game. I need some separation a little bit here. I don't need a 13-10 squeaker against Cincinnati Bengals that are 1-12. And I felt, yeah, they did that. They did enough in that game. And it looked like they played hard. It's perfect? No. I don't think there's any vast improvements, but I think it's a big sign for N'Keal Harry moving forward. And that's good reps right there. Really good reps by him. It's something you build off. Get him more involved in that. You know, that's a guy who can make plays for you. It seems like, okay, now he's getting a little confidence. So more handoffs to him. That's some of the stuff that Cordarrelle Patterson gave you a little bit last year. You know, those end of rounds. Those, you know, and I know we some people took cracks at Cordarrelle, but, I mean, he gave you something offensively. Ran the ball when you needed him, when you had backs down. And he's pretty decent on the jet sweep stuff.
I mentioned earlier that I have a concern about the offense, and that is the sustained drives are not there. They had one yesterday. Everything else was short fields. And they just don't have an offense that moves the ball for a full 60 minutes. Forget a full 60 minutes. Multiple times a game, it doesn't really happen. Looking at the last... looking at the last 10 games, nine games.
Yeah.
Drives of 65-plus yards,
yep,
resulting in a score, thanks to our good friend Neil Collins. Chronic emailer. Here are the stats. Going back to the Giants game, one touchdown, no field goals. Jets, two touchdowns, no field goals. They had three touchdowns and a field goal against the Texans. That's their best one recently. But all these other games, Browns, Ravens, Eagles, Chiefs, Bengals, all those games was one touchdown drive of 65 yards or more. One. Do you know how that compares to last year?
No, I'm sure it's much different.
Go down the list. From the start of the year, 2, 1, 0, 3, 4, 3, 3, 1, 3. Three against the Jets, three against the Dolphins. Mm. I mean, you look at it and it's like
a bunch of threes in there. Yeah.
I mean, they're doing it
consistently.
Consistently. Against bad teams, Dolphins and Jets last year, three touchdowns, two field goals, three touchdowns, two field goals. They don't have the sustained drives that a good offense has, and they haven't done it still. And they didn't do it outside of the first 3 minutes and 16 seconds of the game yesterday. I mean, it's not a knock on them that they took advantage of short fields. That's good. I'm glad they did. But their inability to move the ball and keep drives going and convert and move down the field, if you can't do it against the Bengals, who are you going to do it against? And that's where I would have liked to have seen some improvement yesterday.
I mean, especially
the that's not about the
game.
Score of the game.
It was a great drive to start the game. It really kept them off balance. They flipped things
around. It was. And then we never saw it again.
Right.
No, but flip it. They got given the ball five times, right?
Yeah.
They were given the ball five times. The three games they've lost are to Deshaun.
No, really three times. Really three times. One was a pick six, so the offense didn't take over after that. And the other one was the end of the game.
Okay, yeah. So, but regardless, you're not going to get that in the playoffs. The good quarterbacks don't do that as much. That's why you've lost to Lamar Jackson,
right,
and Deshaun Watson, you're not and Patrick
playing,
Mahomes.
You're not playing Andy Dalton in January. You're playing Patrick Mahomes.
You might play Josh Allen one game, but you're going to play somebody eventually.
Right. That's a good point.
I mean, the defense can play great, but they might not get the ball thrown to them.
If it's Deshaun Watson, is he going to throw four picks?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not. But he'll turn it over.
Yeah, you might not need four, but you might need one or two.
And they might still get that.
I think Jackson's a guy could give you a turnover or two. He's gotten lucky with his throws, some of them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Can they win without that, though? That's the question.
The problem is with that is I don't know how much he's going to have to throw against the Patriots to beat them based on the results the first go-round. So that, you know, that's part of the concern is
sure.
The inability to move the ball and keep the ball. Time of possession yesterday, they got slaughtered in time of possession. What was the, I got to look at the final on that.
Well, that first drive, they ran the ball 8 times in a row and then threw the ball in the last play, right?
It was not trending their way.
Yeah. And then Cincinnati comes right back down. They almost burn out the whole quarter.
Yeah.
Now you score.
I'm talking about the Cincinnati drive. Eight runs in a row. Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah. Mixon. It was Mixon right, Mixon left, Mixon right.
You know what? It wasn't as unbalanced by the end of the game. It was 32-48. 32-48 for the Bengals, and it was 27-12 for the Patriots. So, you know, you're talking about a difference there of about 6 minutes, but still, it felt like a lot more than that because as time went on in that game, the Patriots were able to gain some of that back. But it just felt like they couldn't keep the ball on offense. Joe's in Rockland today. What's up, Joe? Joe! Turn the radio or TV down.
Hello?
Yes.
Who do you want to talk to?
Hey, guys. Joe Cord from Rockland.
You want to talk to...
I wanted to talk to you guys about why Damian Harris hasn't been involved or active.
Okay. Let's stop calling about Damian Harris. Please, everyone. He's not going to play. He's not a part of the team really right now. They're not using him. They're not going to use him.
What's wrong with the other two backs?
Unless there's an injury, you're not going to see him.
What was wrong with those three backs they used yesterday?
They've shelved them, and there was nothing wrong with the guys that played in the game yesterday. Nothing.
You get a Damian Harris call today. After you run a ball for 170 yards, and James White takes it in first catch. Jesus.
What would Damian Harris have done yesterday?
Run right over.
What would have happened? What would have happened at any point this season?
6 yards a carry at Alabama.
If Damian Harris was playing for this team, who is Damian Harris better than right now than who is currently playing and running the ball? Is he better than Sony Michel?
No,
I don't think he is. No. Is he better than what Rex Burkhead gave you yesterday?
Oh no,
I don't think so.
He's starting to get healthy. It's about the same time as last year. That guy started to get healthy.
I mean, it doesn't look like a good draft pick right now. The good news on the N'Keal Harry front is yesterday, if you had started to have some doubts about whether or not they had gotten the pick right and whether or not the player was going to turn into something, yesterday should give you a good piece of evidence that, okay, there's something here. If you weren't buying in yet, if you thought some of his plays to this point already were just flash in the pan. You know, he can't stay on the field. Yesterday should give you some real hope on that front, that the guy can make plays. And he can contribute in a number of different ways, including on those nice sweep plays. Yeah. Okay. Damian Harris, we don't have that yet. It's not looking great.
Go back.
It's no different than any other running back they've drafted, though.
But it is.
Other than Michelle.
It is, and I'll tell you why. The guys who they have not used a lot have been pass-catching backs. It hasn't been the guys that run between the tackles.
Well, Ridley, too, though. Ridley played a little bit, but he wasn't the feature back until the next year.
Right.
He had 1,200 yards his second year, but the first year, he was split with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Well, Stephen Ridley, in his first season in the league, had 87 carries for 441 yards. 87 carries versus how many? Four?
Couple.
A handful?
Does he even have any? I don't even know.
I believe he did this early in the year. Well, we can double check that, but I think this is the first time. Four, it says here. Four rushes against the Jets back on October 21st. So he's probably going to finish with four carries for the year versus 87. For Stephen Ridley, who played in all 16 games. That's a difference. That's not a small...
Yeah, well, he's been hurt too, right?
I guess.
That's the talk, is he's limping around the locker room. Didn't the Bedard tell us that? Or did Jeff... Somebody told us that on the pregame or postgame.
Yeah, it was probably Bedard. Yeah. So 440 yards versus 4 carries and 12 yards for Damian Harris to this point. Those other guys that have sort of been shelved have been pass catching, third down type of backs.
Yeah.
That's what they've been. 617-779-0985. Let's get to the action update.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Devin McCourty is going to leave for the Patriots to the far side along with Dante Hightower.
Two best defenders off the field. You had Butler and Robertson again.
And there's nobody deep for the Patriots.
Oh,
give to Mixon. Runs out the middle. Hit by Shelton behind the line. They stuff him. No gain on the carry.
What a stuff. That's turning point of game, really. One of the big ones. Really good play on third down to set up that fourth and inches. That was a hell of a run stuff right there. And then right down the field. Kind of, right? Yeah.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. In addition to the game yesterday, we also got a copy of the tape or a portion of the tape that the Bengals made in the press box in Cleveland last weekend. That was another part of the day yesterday, getting a look at that tape. I didn't think much of it. I didn't think it went one way or the other. It looks like terrible B-roll, but the conversation didn't tell you much. I know some people have tried to say that the individual I heard on the tape sounded nervous. I didn't think he sounded nervous.
That's him. That's how he talks.
I didn't think he did.
I would be nervous. Even if I wasn't doing anything wrong, I'd be really nervous.
Well, anytime you get, it's like when
even
you get.
Even if you're nervous, I don't know what that means.
Say you get pulled over by the cops, you whoop, there's the blues. You don't know what you did. Oh my God, what'd I do?
Some guy comes up with a phone, or I would assume it's his phone, taping you, and the security guy comes over. Yeah, I'd be nervous.
All right, so there's that, and there's also this story that we didn't go too in-depth on earlier, which is from Ben Volen in the Globe that says the Patriots have suspended the producer who oversaw the filming of the Bengals sideline in Cleveland last week. A league source confirmed to the Globe on Sunday. The producer, Dave Mondillo, is a longtime full-time employee of Kraft Sports and Entertainment. He was suspended last week. The NFL prohibits teams from filming opponents' sidelines during games. The Patriots admitted their film crew violated NFL rules, but claimed the crew was unaware of the rule. In a statement provided to the Globe, Mondillo reiterated his assignment had nothing to do with the scouting of the Bengals. Because he himself put out his own statement last night, not through the team, but on his own, released a statement. Why, if nothing was done wrong, and the individual involved made an honest, innocent mistake, why would the team feel the need to suspend him so soon? Is a question I have.
We have no clue how, you know, the chain of command goes or how they're contacted from the league, right? Hey, there's a problem here. We got something here. It's this, and this was done in Cleveland, and this guy did it. They said they worked for you. What is going on? And then it's up to the team to act accordingly. I don't know. They don't tell you what to do.
I mean, does the team feel... I assume that, you know, when you get suspended.
I would say the head coach is pretty pissed off.
I
think that starts there.
Okay.
And I know a lot of this starts because we know what happened prior. And I know where everybody wants to put the blame game. But he is freaking.
But if you're putting blame on the individual here that's been suspended, that to me suggests that they believe the individual should have known.
Yes. Then
the rules.
I think it's somebody got lazy here and somebody's going to pay for it. Like, you know. We got lax.
Okay, but if you're lax
whether
because...
Whether it's him, whether it's above him, whether it's way above him...
Well, that's
him,
my question.
You know, right.
Because if this individual works for Kraft Sports Entertainment, and they've never been over the rules with him about it...
Well, he had to request permission to go.
He did make an honest mistake. Is that on him, or is that on the person that hasn't informed him of the rules.
Well, I think
or didn't give him a heads up before going on this assignment. Hey,
you would also have to get approval from football.
You've got specific rules that apply to where you're going to be taping this weekend. I want to go over this with you. It would feel like it would fall on someone above him.
Like, and what I said here, too, and I know there's another report on it, that this was the lone game that they did this with this advanced scout. It wasn't done, you know, against the Jets, against Buffalo, or Kansas City. I know Bedard said he was in the Kansas City press box summer. This wasn't being done there. You had to get approval through football for this. Like, hey, we want to film your advanced scout. We've already got approval for you to sit down and talk to your equipment staff, to talk to your video staff. We want to now do an advanced scout. We'd like to follow him through his day in a game. What's a good game to pick? Maybe they look at, I don't know, it was, take him to Cincinnati. It's one of the last away games of the year. Take, pick that one. Football unknowing, like, they're going to film the sideline. But you had to get approval that you want to sit down and talk to this guy about his job, that he works for you as he prepares his advanced scouting stuff. And then you had to request, you know, credentials to get in the press box. He even said it in there. He got credentials and got a parking pass, like normal day, our work day.
Right. I just go back to what they
set
said,
up.
Though.
It's an 8x10 freaking monitor right there where everybody can see what you're filming. So, I mean, it's
I'm all for someone being held accountable.
Thing. You know, you weren't hiding the camera like, we're going to try and hide this camera and shoot it. No, we're going to put the camera there. Here's what we're filming. Like they're filming your big monitor.
I'm all for accountability.
It's just dumb.
But it just doesn't feel like, if this was an honest mistake by this individual, that they got the right guy to suspend. Like, it's on him to know that? If it's an honest mistake, as the team says it is.
Yeah. You make mistakes. I make mistakes every day.
Yeah, but it's because you were unaware of a rule that you would have in your job description, no reason
to know. If I was
told not to
do it, I wouldn't do it, right? You can't sit here and swear every day, right?
Of course.
Every once in a while, one will slip out, right? Oops. Dumb button. But we don't make it a hobby.
You would get suspended in a work situation if you blatantly violate a rule
and
you do something stupid that you should have known not to do.
You can't harass an employee. You know things that you can't do. I mean, there's training we go through online that tells you what you can't do.
Yeah, I got to believe that anybody in that situation has been through it. I mean, we're not sat down and told what we can say and can't say and have these long discussions about things. You go through a training. It's kind of understood. It's part of the job. And I got to believe whoever there was shooting it, it's part of the job, and he's been through, even if it's just it's one of the handful of things you got to know if you're going to go do that thing.
So if they did tell their employees to, you know, these rules at some point, or there was some training about it,
Well, then
they got the right, they did the right thing.
They got it. And if they have suspended or fired anyone, whoever was doing the shooting, then unfortunate. I say it's unfortunate because I keep circling back to
but
this.
But the team has already stated that he was unaware of the rules, and they claim, why would he know the rules? So that's where they're in a tricky spot.
And this is what I keep circling back to.
That's what they say. I can only go by their statements.
And I know we're not going to debate the rule, and we're not going to argue about the rule, but it's such a dumb rule. You can bring a video. You can bring a camera into the press box. You can videotape this. You can watch the game. You can sit in the stands. You can buy a ticket and do whatever you want. Whatever you do, don't point that camera down from this high level down there. That's not allowed. Why not? Because it's a dumb rule. It's like, you know, the handful of words that we can't say here, in addition to the big ones,
stupid,
the obvious ones, there's a handful of words that we can get in trouble for saying. They don't mean anything to anybody. It doesn't change anything at all. But yet, that's the rule. It's a dumb rule.
Okay.
I don't agree with that portion of it. So, I guess in some of the Patriots' defense, he didn't know he knows a lot of stuff. But he didn't know that one thing. He knew he could take the camera into the press box. He knew he could shoot all this. He could shoot all this. Go down into the bowels of the stadium, shoot on there. But the one thing you can't do, point it down on the sideline.
Right.
Heaven forbid you catch some of their mannerisms or body language on tape that you would then take back to Foxborough. Oh no, not that.
I could sit there,
it's
call a game.
Dumb.
I could sit there, call a game. Okay. Oh, crap.
I'm not debating
my phone
the rule,
on recording the sideline. Oh, look what I got. And you watch it.
The Patriots will not be allowed to debate the rule when they get a chance to speak to the league.
No. You are
okay.
You
they
are
don't get
correct.
To debate the rule. The rule is the correct. Rule. Whether you like it or not, or you think it's a dumb rule, that's a conversation for another day.
That's not the conversation.
It just isn't. It's not going to be brought up. you know what, Patriots, defend yourselves to us before we determine your punishment. Do you think this is a dumb rule? If it's a dumb rule, make your case. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You know what? Let's put the law on trial here. No, we're not going to do that.
That never works.
No, you're going to
As they say in their statement, we understand and acknowledge that our video crew, which included independent contractors who shot the video, or the full-time, long-time employee, unknowingly violated a league policy by filming the field and sideline from the press box. When questioned, the crew immediately turned over all footage to the league and cooperated fully. So the way they sort of phrase that, they're happy with how their employees cooperated and responded to the situation. When they were approached, they sound pleased with their response that they were, you know, fully cooperating and were not trying to hide anything. So that's why I wonder. All right.
Yeah.
Or do we just have another scapegoat like McNally and Jastrzemski? Like, what did they get wrong?
Now, that seemed pretty orchestrated, right? Compared to this.
Yeah, but those two guys... I mean,
don't bring that up.
Why?
Because we're going to go down the whole path.
Well, they got fired, did they not?
Yeah.
What did they get fired for? You kept telling us you did nothing wrong. Why'd you fire two guys?
That's why.
That question's never been answered.
You guys go away.
If you did nothing wrong, why'd you fire these two?
We didn't do anything. Oh, those two guys, you told us to get rid of. We got rid of them.
What guys? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I guess they can make the case that the league wanted those guys out of here and we had to listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Could be, and this could be the same thing.
The league already tell you they want this producer gone, too? I mean, that happened quick.
No, I think that happened personally. I think football's irate, and something had to be done. So
he's the fall guy.
If he screwed up, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, how would we know?
You can't even talk to him. I mean, the only thing you have is this release statement by him. All right?
He did. He put out a statement last night. There's an unfortunate angle on that statement, too. Unfortunate for the Patriots. There's an unfortunate angle.
It just sucks.
It's been an unfortunate week for them.
It has been, and it is. It's really bad luck almost that, you know, here's this big thing, and the big buildup on Fox yesterday, and they showed it, and you could kind of sense the collective response on Twitter was, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
That's the big...
Locally, nationally, they got crushed by national guys.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but that's their thing. Like I said, whatever side you're on or in, you're just digging
for the content of the tape. They got crushed.
They did.
Well, you got your red handed now, buddy. You got the.
Well, that's the Cincinnati guy.
All right, we'll get to that statement from the producer/videographer. We'll do that after headlines. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You ever heard this one? Hardy, you ever heard this Prince song?
Nope.
You never heard this?
Nope.
Jesus.
What song is it?
It's a Prince Christmas song.
Another Lonely Christmas.
Come on, dude. It's like from high school.
I don't know this one.
Remember this?
Really?
Wow. You're a big Prince guy, too.
I know.
All right. Statement last night from Dave Mondillo, the now suspended producer/videographer. Videographer that set up the camera, according to an earlier report. He put out a statement last night. Long one. Long statement. But it basically is, we went there, we had permission, our actions have been misconstrued. At no point in time did anyone in the organization tell us to do this. Football operations didn't tell us to do any of this. There's also a part about going to the bathroom in there, which I know it's like, wow, there's a lot of detail in this. His, you know, when the camera was left up and was shooting.
Yeah.
That's apparently the time It says, we went directly to the press box and set up our camera to get footage we needed. We interviewed and shot the Patriots scout sitting in a chair watching the action and panned back and forth from him to what he was seeing on the sidelines. All right, that didn't show up in the portion of the tape we saw.
Okay.
Right? So
what you saw was what was being filmed by the Cincinnati people that was reported.
But we were looking at the monitor of what they were doing.
Exactly.
They right.
Were
so this
you.
That was
right.
probably, it may have been
it
before.
It could have been 20 minutes of film prior. You don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, could have been.
You don't know.
And again, we don't know.
It could be
we only
45
minute.
Minutes of tape that was shot in a press box.
It says, we also took footage of the field as the intent was to show what the what he was looking at when he looked through the binoculars watching the game. He says, at that point, I went to the restroom.
Well, wait a minute. The beginning of this is interesting. Like, our department was charged with completing. Who are you charged by? That's an odd wording, right?
I don't think so.
Was charged by? Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
He has a mandate. Get this done now.
Yeah, it sounds like they were under some pressure to get some things done here by the end of the year.
Because they don't want to be dealing with this.
When I read that, I thought that was like him airing a grievance against the department.
Like, right. Like,
oh, you guys gave us all this workload.
They put this pressure on us.
You know? Whatever that has to do, I don't think it has to do anything with this case. But it was interesting.
It was interesting wording.
Interesting that it felt like, hey, the workload here, right? Something like that. Like it was a grievance against the employer for something completely unrelated.
Odd wording.
He says, at that point, I went to the restroom. And when I came back, my cameraman was told to stop shooting by someone from the NFL. And he was joined by two others from the Bengals organization and an additional NFL security person. We stopped shooting immediately when asked to do so and cooperated fully. We had a detailed exchange about who we were and why we were there, and what they wanted us to do. He says he gave the Sony memory card to NFL security, and we complied with their request, packed up, and went home. I had no intention to provide footage to football operations. I did not provide any footage and was never asked to do so. So that is his statement last night. Very lengthy statement. Not put out through the team, but just put out as an individual after the news dropped that he was suspended by the league. So I said, wow, this guy put out a statement. I don't know this guy. You do, Zo.
I do.
So he put out a statement, and he's got obviously someone helping him with that PR. It might be his wife, who is the president and COO of a PR group that helped launch Bill Belichick's foundation. Here's the Bill Belichick endorsement, the testimonial on their website for Goodwin Group PR. Bill Belichick's testimonial for the company that Dave Mondillo's wife is the president of says, Goodwin Group PR helped launch the Bill Belichick Foundation and bring my vision for the foundation to life. I consider them part of my off-the-field team. Bill Belichick. Okay, then. So there is a connection, possibly, between the coach and the individual who was in the booth. So even though they might be completely independent of one another, there's the strong possibility that these two individuals are at least familiar with who each other is, in the sense that this guy's wife is leading a company that helped start up Bill Belichick's foundation. That's the testimonial on their website from Bill Belichick. There's a picture of him in his little testimonial that he wrote up for them. So, okay. All right. That's not an independent contractor who shot that video. That's a longtime full-time employee who also happens to have a tie to Bill Belichick. That doesn't look good, even if this was completely innocent and everything that Dave Mondillo says in that statement is 100% true and accurate. The league and other owners, they're just not going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. They're going to say, well, wait, what about your statement last week that it was an independent contractor, not someone that worked for you? This guy worked for you. He's full-time, in-house. You've now suspended him. That's not an independent guy. What is that? I mean, aren't there going to be questions about that now? That even if, again, they're innocent, they're going to look bad because they handled it a certain way. Saw this coming from a mile away. It's aggravating that they don't just give it to you straight from the beginning because it would only help their cause now. They need to be more open and transparent than they have been over the last week. It would help their cause. This is going to hurt their cause in pleading their case with the league. Because I think the biggest takeaway for me about that tape, it's going to be hard to prove anything or disprove anything with that tape. The league says, we got you. And they go, no, that's not, you don't got us on anything. That's us doing exactly what we were doing for our piece. And what's it come back to? It comes back to, do they believe you or not?
Right.
And are you telling the truth? And do they find your story believable? And there are already many questions about their credibility from previous events. And now they've got questions about their credibility in this current event. And that's not good. Because it all comes down to your word in this thing. That's what I think is going to be the case. Do they believe them? Do they put on a good interview when they get asked?
And I'm sure they will. I mean, but it's whatever your preconceived notion is. And I like, look at the Bengals thing. Ha ha, we got you caught red-handed now. Like, it's too late now, my friend. The damage is done. What damage?
Well,
what,
the Bengals the Bengals don't have to answer for anything.
No, they don't. No. They weren't alerted.
617.
No, but unfortunately, that kind of set the tone for this whole thing and their reaction to it and the way they behaved. All right, well, that was the first shot fired in all this. What are you up to? Oh, you're up to something here. I can tell you've been caught. How do you respond? There hasn't been a lot of response.
I hear we have a new song for the start of Sounds of Sunday today.
Yeah.
It's Christmassy, but also sad.
I don't think it's sad.
We'll do it next.
It's a little sad.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Good job, Joe.
Joe? Who's Joe? Am I Joe?
Did I say Joe?
I think you said Joe.
Sounds of Sunday and some Saturday too. Every Monday we play them for you. Just for you. Jimmy Fine Sound and Tom Fine Sound. Sounds of Sunday, every Monday for you.
Comes the best part. Here we go.
Oh.
Pretty passes. Pretty runs. Zero blitzes. Corner blitzes.
From right receivers side. Fly.
Protect your quarterbacks. Don't let him get hit.
All alone on
I don't
the
believe that this
line.
Song fits.
You got your rocks off
the mood. Fits the mood of Sounds of Sunday.
Not this does.
It fits the time of year.
Sure does.
That is true.
Welcome to hell.
Should you stop? Better not.
Keep on filming.
All right, gentlemen.
Ready to go? No?
Yeah, okay. Just about. Sounds of Sunday here.
How much time we get to fill?
10 seconds.
That's not enough time to talk about anything.
No, here we go.
It kind of is, but I don't really got anything to talk about.
We're going to start with the Raiders. Derek Carr calling an audible during yesterday's game.
Breeze, second down, 12.
Boy, the whole middle of the field's open.
Martin Davis.
Yeah. Oh, and everyone down on the line of scrimmage anticipating run.
Wait a second.
Nice block in there by Jackson.
All right.
Yeah. His head jack broke.
Oh, so you couldn't hear it?
Couldn't hear it.
Play it again.
All right. All right.
His head jack sucked. Second down, 12.
Boy, the whole middle of the field's open.
Mark Davis.
Yeah.
Get this ball. I see it.
Everyone down.
Mark Davis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Now I can hear it. Mark Davis.
These things are like JetBlue headphones now. Like you plug them in, you got to wiggle them.
I'll wiggle them a little bit?
You get like
you okay now?
One in one ear. Now it's one in one ear, one in the other.
How do you think Mark Davis celebrated leaving Oakland yesterday?
Hey, get me out.
Trip to the...
does he know?
Let's go Apple.
P.F. Chang's?
Yeah, P.F. Chang's.
Did he have his P.F. Chang's after the game?
Yeah, get a haircut.
One last stop at the Oakland P.F. Chang's.
$4 haircut. Get a bowl out.
There's definitely a P.F. Chang's in Vegas. There's probably eight of them there.
Yeah, well, me and took Walk's mom He's gonna... there. He walk.
There was a moment in the Raiders game where the ref had to stop the game to make an announcement.
This is
please stop using lasers aiming at the field. Do not aim a laser at the field, at the coaches, the players. Stop.
That's the ref, by the way. Yeah, that's like, not the PA announcer or something like that.
Press the red button. Yeah, don't touch the
button. Shouldn't the referee said? Shouldn't he say something along the lines of, you know, if you aim lasers at the field, the home team is going to... Actually, it probably wouldn't really affect them.
Say Cleveland. It,
that's, I mean, that's how they get you to stop.
They'd
it's
be like, boo, they're leaving anyway.
Right. So it wouldn't work in that case.
Wouldn't really work.
That's one of Sam Weiss's great moments when he took the mic. Remember he did that, took the ref's mic, screamed at the people at Cincinnati, stopped throwing things on the field. This ain't Cleveland. The place went nuts. Yeah. They stopped.
All right, let's move over to the 49ers radio call of the Falcons game-winning touchdown. We see this yesterday, by the way.
Is Tim Ryan back?
Or no? Is he still suspended?
I do not know. Oh. Did you see the final?
I saw the final play, yes.
Yeah, I think we got an email about this, too, but go ahead. All
right. We'll get into it later.
Third down and goal.
Let's go, D-line. Let's go, D-line.
Here's your game. There's Julio. And here he is throwing a crossing route. Caught! But they tackle him on the goal line. Is he short? I think he's down to the 1 yard line.
There's 1 second left.
I don't think he got in. They tackled him shy.
And the clock's got to run.
This should be on the 1 yard line. Julio caught it on the goal line, got hit by Jimmy Ward. He backed on the goal line as the ball crossed the goal line. Oh, it's so close. This is way closer than the Mike Jones touchdown. They say he's short. They say he's short. And the 49ers have won the game.
Not so fast.
For now, it's all subject to review. Hold on a minute.
The previous play is under review.
They all are. Well, you talk about the longest yard. This is absolutely insane here. Another video replay review. It's up to Blandino. Boy, it's so close. The official review is brought to you by NBC Sports Bay Area, the home of the authentic 49ers fans, and we simply wait for Park Avenue to make their ruling.
The runner possessed the ball and broke the plane. Therefore, it is a touchdown.
49ers lose.
It's right call.
You know what? It's the right call. You tell me, though, in any sport that you've ever played, if it just, you know, playground rules. Did he get in? Of course he didn't get in. He can get in the end zone on that. No. And the previous play that he did catch and went to the ground with, that's a touchdown. No. Didn't maintain control. So what? He caught it. He was in the touchdown. The first one was a touchdown. The second one wasn't. Though, according to the rules, it's flipped.
Mick emailed us today. I want to know why it was that they were able to review that when it was ruled a non-touchdown versus the N'Keal Harry play last week. He said, everyone's out of challenges here. Last 2 minutes.
Yes.
They can challenge. The booth can look at anything. There are no challenges in the final 2 minutes of each half, which means they were able to just review the spot. And if the spot moves to being in the end zone, they can rule it a touchdown, even though it was ruled a non-touchdown.
Yep.
Time. The clock matters in that situation.
I just hate that that's a touchdown. I always have. I don't like it. I don't care for it. All right. Moving on. Pat's radio. Pre-game with Albert Breer.
Oh. If you're an advanced scout in that situation, like during the game, the amount of that they got to take.
Yep. Wow. You serious?
Well, he had an explanation.
Yeah, just keep going. I'm speaking freely with my friends here. I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
I saw Jim. The amount of stuff that. Merry Christmas, everyone.
gotta wake you up.
Albert.
The amount of that they got to take.
Remember the first day he ever worked on a sports hub?
He had like four dumps in the first 2 hours.
Who?
First Bert? Day. Bert. Remember that, Jim? It was like a July day back when the sports hub started. Bert had his first day there. He was filling in for somebody. He was swearing like a sailor.
I remember that.
Yeah.
All right. A musical mention during the game. Oh. Do you remember this?
No.
They don't have a return game, really. Whether it's kickoffs or punts.
Plus, you get trolled there during a break by the stadium playing Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
Great recall. Two receivers to the right, including.
Great recall? Yeah. Recalling it from two minutes ago?
Complimenting me for knowing who Rockwell is.
Oh, recalling who the artist was?
Yeah.
Oh. Somebody feel like
that's the only one they played, or they play a lot of those?
No, just that one.
I feel that's a pretty mild trivia question. I don't think Rockwell, Somebody Watch Me. It was a big hit.
It was a good one.
I mean, I'll give you credit for knowing it, but.
Did
Should Bob have been that impressed by it?
It was at that time.
I don't think so.
I wanted the 45 record because I was a kid at that time, and I wanted that. And I kept looking for Michael Jackson, and I have no clue. It was sung by Rockwell.
You and everybody else, right?
Thought it was sung by Michael Jackson. Could never find the song.
Finally, this is with regard to the Ohio River. You remember this?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Kicking toward the river to our right.
Cold, you think your river is right now? How cold do you think your river is right now? How long would you last? You got another coating on under there. I know you do. A polar bear.
Never done the polar bear thing. No. I never planned to. Even on December 15th.
You're right. It's not just the coat. It's the undercoat.
Oh, it's the undercoat.
He's got the undercoat. That's what keeps you warm.
It's like a seal.
We were in Arizona.
And Bob had no idea where you were going with that.
We were out in Arizona.
Like
one of our first games.
January 1st.
One of our first games. We were on a trip doing the Arizona game. And I was in the pool. And he de-shirted himself and got in. I'm like, oh, my God. For the love of, get the skimmers. We got to get those baskets out. Wow.
Make sure all the filters are working.
Man, take your shirt off. Oh, you did. Yeah, that neck cut right under him, you know? Just trim right down. Whew! A hairy sucker. He's the best. He's home laughing right now.
That's it for Sounds of Sunday, gentlemen.
That's a good one. Hey, AB's gone off his rocker again here.
He's had
a little tweet string.
He's had some
video over the weekend.
Last couple minutes.
Oh, no, today's bad, yeah.
He's done with white women. She got his kids, and they wouldn't go to school today. He wants to report missing children. He needs help.
He's asking repo men for help.
Yep. People better get around. This could get dicey.
Well, you want him back.
I'd take him tomorrow.
That's your guy.
Put him in a slot.
That's your guy.
We'll cover him.
No more white crazy woman 2020.
He already said that. That's like his new slogan.
My favorite part of Saturday's video with the police, where he says many, many negative things about the police, is that he's got a friend there who's telling him, get off social media. Get off. So what are you doing? Like, what is wrong with you? Guy's an idiot. Complete moron.
I'd leave him if I was Rosenhaus.
There's a report on the future of Nick Caserio and Josh McDaniels. I'm sure we will get more reports on this in the coming weeks as the season draws to a close. We'll get to the latest on that in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.